Hi, I'm Vicki Griffin, and welcome to Living Free. We're glad you've joined us. On this episode, we're going to be talking about a prevalent issue that affects millions of people globally, and it's on the rise: depression. But we're not just going to talk about depression. We're going to talk about lifestyle keys to beat the blues. So let's begin with this testimony that sets the stage.
When I was growing up as a young child, I did not have a very close relationship with my dad. And later in life, this spilled over into my relationship with God. I found it very difficult to relate to God. And throughout my life, I had a considerable amount of trauma. Starting at 5 years old, my grandmother, my mother's mother, was actually killed in a very tragic car accident. And it was a very violent accident. There was a man who had epileptic seizures, who had borrowed his friend's car on Thanksgiving Day to go to the liquor store. And while he was driving on his way to the liquor store, he actually had a seizure and he rammed into the back of my grandparents. And my grandmother was tragically killed. That began to create questions in my heart about the character of God, about life and about death. And so at a very early age, I had this very traumatic experience with death. So as I got older, I began to be involved heavily in sports. I was a football star in my high school and my community. It was one of the very first person to ever play college football. And so in high school, I, at a young age, as a freshman, began to hang around a lot of the older kids, and they invited me to go to campouts, and they handed me my first beer, and they handed me my first joint, smoking marijuana. And my cousin, actually, when I was about 12 years old, introduced me to tobacco. So at 12 years old, I became addicted to tobacco. I was doing some smoking, but mostly chewing tobacco, and that really took control of my life. By the time I was in 10th grade, I was actually addicted to tobacco and alcohol very severely. I became known as the school alcoholic in my high school, and I started just on the weekends, then it moved to weeknights, then it moved actually to mornings. Before I went to school, I would drink heavily, I would be intoxicated throughout the school day, I would interact with my teachers, I would actually bring alcohol to school, and as the teacher was writing on the wall in the classroom, I would pull out my little bottle and take a sip. It really became uncontrollable for me. And I found myself slipping further and further away. Previously, I had been an A and B student. I started to see my grades slipping. And my football coach actually realized what was happening. So he pulled me aside and said, "Look, you have an opportunity in our school that no one else has ever had. You need to really straighten out your life." And so, kind of my own will, my own strength, I did put those things away. I continued with the tobacco, but I gave up the alcohol. And so my senior year in high school, I experienced two major tragedies. One was that my parents, after 20 years of marriage, decided they would divorce. And my mother took this very difficult. My father actually had another woman that he was interested in, so he left our family, abandoned our family. And I was left to kind of, at 16 years old, try to be the man of the house. Certainly incapable of doing that, especially because my dad had never really been that for us. He'd never been that role model. As I mentioned before, I had not had a very close relationship with him. I came in from school one day and found my mother laying on the couch. And she actually had tried to commit suicide. She took about 25 sleeping pills, and it took me a while to figure out what was happening. And I called my dad, who came over, and she was unresponsive to him, and he told me that he was leaving to get her some medicine. Well, later I found out through a series of events that she had actually told him what she had done, but he had left her there intentionally to die because he wanted her to be out of his life. And so I called an ambulance, and they came and picked her up, took her to the hospital, and thankfully she did survive, but she was not quite the same after that. That was the first thing. The second thing is, being a huge football star, I was planning to receive a college scholarship to play football at major university. And about the fourth game of the year, we were playing against our biggest rival, and I actually tore my knee out right before halftime. And so that put kind of a damper on that. I had to have surgery, and my season was over. And so all this trauma, these are just the main things, led me further and further into addictions. So I was addicted to tobacco. I was addicted to alcohol. I was very addicted to video games. I can remember one time I played a video game for 3 days and two nights without going to bed. And I later read in an article that a man in another part of the country had done the exact same thing for the exact amount of time, and he actually began having seizures and died. It was really a miracle that I didn't die. I believe it was the hand of God over me at that time. And so the alcohol following high school became much more intense. There were times that I would drink an entire case of beer in one day, entire bottles of liquor. I was addicted then to smoking. I began to smoke more heavily, and I was really just a mess. I mean, my life was out of control. I also, through this trauma and this series of events, came to the place where I rejected any concept of God. So I became an atheist, and I was very anti-Christianity, anti-religion, anti-Bible. There were students on my campus that would try to tell me about Christ, and I would send them away many times in tears. I was just so vicious and angry and bitter at my family, and I just wanted nothing to do with anything. And my purpose at that time in life was to get rich, to have a great job, to be able to do whatever I wanted to. I became addicted to pornography. I was very heavily involved in pornography, watching it on a daily basis. So I had all these addictions, and I was a womanizer, just to put it plainly. I had interactions with several different women, and my life was just a royal mess. I even told my own mother, "There is no God. Do not try to seek out God. Do not go to a church. There is no God." So I was in a very deep pit. I began to suffer from depression as well. I had 5 alarm clocks beside my head when I would sleep at night to wake me up so I could go to class. So I reached the point where the darkness seemed to be so deep. There seemed to be so little hope. I thought, what's the point in life? Why not just commit suicide? And so I actually began to entertain the concept of committing suicide. And the only thing that stopped me from doing it on that day was that I wanted to do it in such a manner that my family would feel responsible and guilty for the rest of their life. I wanted my dad to suffer because he caused such pain in our family. I wanted my mom to suffer because she wasn't there to help my sister and I when we were dealing with this, the divorce and all those things. And so I wanted to do it in such a way that they would pay the price, so to speak. And so I began contemplating, how can I commit suicide in that way? And at the same time, I began to think to myself, why don't you study the Bible? These thoughts began to come into my mind. Why don't you study the Bible? And I thought, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Why would these thoughts be entering? But it seemed like the more I tried to get rid of them, the stronger they became. And so I ended up studying the Bible as a means of trying to prove it false. I agreed to that. And so I studied the Bible to prove it false, and the rest is history. It radically changed my life. So as I picked up the Bible for the first time, I began to study and I began to see that many of the problems and the issues that we're facing in the world today were foretold thousands of years before. And this was remarkable to me because I was a very heavy skeptic. I needed concrete evidence. I had no desire for any opinions or theories. I needed evidence. And as I studied Bible prophecy, as I studied archaeology and history and many different components of the Bible, I found all the evidence that I was looking for. It was right there in front of me. And it made more sense to me than anything else in the world. And soon I found myself reading the Gospels, and there I met Jesus. And I realized how beautiful, how pure, and how lovely his life was. He was the perfect, sinless Savior. And I recognized that I needed a Savior. I needed some external power because my life was out of control and I had no power to resist the things that I had found myself addicted to. And I remember I was 22 years old and I was kneeling beside my bed and I yielded my life to Christ. There was no one else around. I was a college student on a very secular university. No one led me to Christ, but Christ found me. And I believe he wants to find you too, whoever you are watching today. And I gave myself to him, and my life radically changed. It wasn't easy. There were steps. There was a process over time. You know, I began, one of the first things God eliminated was pornography. Through the grace of God, and only by that grace, I've never watched it again since that time. Tobacco was very difficult for me to give up. I actually would buy some and take a little bit and throw the rest in the trash can. And in a few hours, I'd find myself digging in the trash can. So I understand the struggle. There's a battle there. But through a process, God gave me the victory. He gave me the victory over alcohol. It was not easy. There was lots of withdrawals. I struggled with it. I battled with it. But moment by moment, I found God giving me what I needed. You know, I began to change my lifestyle because previously I would stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. There was no exercise. I was gaming. I was doing all these unhealthy things. I was eating, you know, pizza almost every day, just very unhealthy, not fresh foods and those types of things. And so I began to change that. I didn't even know the benefit of sleep before midnight, but I found myself going to bed early. And I started to change my diet. I started to exercise more regularly. And these things, along with prayer and Bible study and trust in God, these things gave me the tools that I needed to not just overcome, but to sustain that victory. And I'll tell the truth, there were times when I stumbled, and there will be times when you will stumble. There may be difficulties you'll face, but God is always there to pick us up. He'll sustain us, he'll strengthen us, and he'll pick us up when we fall. So don't give up, get up with God's help. And when you have that struggle, when you have that fall. And my life has been a wonderful miracle, but it hasn't always been a miracle. There's been battles that I've faced on a daily basis and still face today. You know, when I was 28 years old, I developed cancer and I almost died from that. It was a very tragic, terrible experience. But God miraculously brought me through that. And there may be the person here watching today that says, yeah, but he didn't do that for my mother. He didn't do that for my father. He didn't do that for the one that I cared about. And I don't understand all those things. What I do know is that God carries us through certain things in life. He doesn't cause them. He doesn't bring them on. But sometimes when we find ourselves in those things, he will carry us through and he will give us what we need at every minute. And I want to give you the encouragement to trust him through those things because he will be the source of strength that you need. Now, I'm an ordained minister today, and I went from an atheist to now an ordained minister. I've had the privilege of sharing my story all over the world, but God wants to give you a story as well. He wants to give you victory. And as you trust him, as you submit yourself to him, as you trust and believe in his promises, he's going to take you from here to there, from where you are to where he wants you to be. And it's a journey and it's a process. It doesn't all happen in a light switch. Some things might, but not everything will. So be patient, be trusting, and rely upon him. And he's going to get you through. And I just want to give you that encouragement because I know that God's not finished with me yet. But I do know that the work he began, he's going to be diligent to complete, both in me, but also in you. So hang in there. Trust him. Love him, because he loves you. He has a perfect plan for you, and he's going to give you the victory.
When we return, we're going to talk about today's topic, depression, lifestyle keys for beating the blues. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you for watching Hope Channel's production of Living Free. We invite you to purchase a copy of Vicki's book, Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. This colorful, information-packed volume contains practical tools for building mental, physical, and spiritual strength while overcoming bad habits for good. Enjoy recipes and personal stories in an easy-to-read format. For more information as well as free resources, visit lifestylematters.com or call the number on your screen.
Welcome back to our program. Let's talk about depression. Lifestyle keys for beating the blues. Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide, ahead of heart disease, any given cancer, and AIDS. Abraham Lincoln once famously said, "I'm now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on earth." It reminds me of this saying, "Sadness discolors everything. It leaves all objects charmless and future prospects in darkness. It deprives the soul of all its aspirations, enchains all its powers, and produces mental paralysis." Have you ever been there? I think we all have at some point or other. But I want to talk about that paralysis for just a moment, and I'd like to compare it to a riding lawnmower that my husband and son bought several years ago. In fact, this lawnmower was amazing, but the first thing they did is they opened it up and they took out something called the governor. Well, once they took the governor out, now they had more than a lawnmower. They had a racing machine. But guess what? It burned out. And your brain has a governor. And so happy, productive people can have a governor that burns out by being overactive, overproducing, overstressed, overbusy, crazy busy, and about to snap. And so your governor will shut you down. You always want to work with your healthcare provider when making medical or lifestyle changes, especially when you have severe depression or mood changes or you're dealing with an addiction. The good news today is that even when people are prone to depression, there are many factors that are tunable and changeable. And that's what we want to talk about today. According to Dr. John Rady, psychiatrist from Harvard University, depression is an erosion of connections in your life as well as between your brain cells. Let's talk about nutrition and that erosion. I love this quote, "What we ingest is fundamental to how we think and feel. Poor diet is common in people who suffer from depression and other mental disorders." Now, there's a spiral that occurs here, because when you eat poorly, it affects mental health. When you have a mental health issue, you're more prone to eat poorly. So there's a whole field of medicine called psychiatric nutrition or behavioral nutrition. Understanding the connections between inflammation, mood, and cognitive decline makes it all the more important to lower systemic inflammation in our bodies. I want to land on this for just a moment, because when you have systemic chronic inflammation from poor diet, inactivity, chronic stress, lack of sleep, it creates a metabolic condition that affects inflammation in the brain. And when you have inflammation in the brain, it starts to act upon the brain cells and cause destruction that is linked to chronic depression. So the most universally relevant methods of reaching this goal of lowering systemic inflammation include avoidance of the standard American diet, moderate levels of exercise, adequate sleep, and stress reduction techniques are key. You know, those little choices are going to make a big difference. I love this. Critics sometimes claim that a focus on ordinary measures like exercise and diet are too simplistic to affect unordinary behavior. Not so. Brilliantly simple evidence shows how powerful such universal factors can be in affecting the brain-body system. Getting that rest, by the way, exercise and not eating at night, not using alcohol and drugs, is going to help you to rest better. So establishing a regular sleep routine is going to help you lessen the challenges associated with depression that are related to sleep deprivation. And remember, motion balances emotion. You got to go for that soul stroll, and it actually forces the brain out of hibernation. Connectedness is so important. That's where we get our help, support, advice, prayer, and guidance. You know, to a large extent, we actually have the ability to choose how we're going to think about a situation, and we can really get stuck in a rut of ruminating. So here's what we need to remember. There are attitudinal disciplines that are very important for healing. What we magnify is going to get bigger. So we need to magnify the Lord, magnify trust, magnify solutions, magnify faith. The good news is that God engineered you for success. New nerve cells are born in the brain every day in regions affected by depression. And when you move and when you get into the produce department and eating that good food and get on a schedule, it's going to assist brain recovery when you are suffering from depression. I love this promise. He took me up out of a deep waste place. Do you feel like you're stuck in the mud? Out of the soft and sticky earth, and put my feet upon a rock and made my steps certain. These brain-body connections are real, and there is no substitute for implementing them in our lives. God wants to do a new thing for you. He wants to put a new song in your mouth, a song of praise to your God. He's got the plan, He's got the power, and He has the promises. I want to leave you with an important thought. Practice makes progress. Every step you take is going to point you in a direction of healing and recovery. You can do this, but it's one step at a time, and it takes time. One of the greatest miracles that God gives us is perseverance. And just because it's hard doesn't mean that God isn't in it. He is going to gently lead you to better thinking, to lower inflammation, lifestyle pieces that can help you to feel better and do better, even if you don't get your bullseye right away. So keep at it. Keep in prayer. Don't give up. The journey is toward healing. When we return, we're going to check in with Wes Peppers, so stay with us.
You're watching just one of 13 compelling Hope Channel episodes of Living Free. As your heart is touched with the practical teachings in this series, you may want to start your own Living Free support group. Free discussion guides correspond to each episode, along with other helpful handouts. Just visit lifestylematters.com and click on Free Resources, or call the number on your screen to learn about better habits for a better life.
Welcome back to the program. Earlier, you heard the amazing testimony of my friend Wes Peppers. And guess what? He's with us here now. Hi, Wes. How are you doing?
Hi, Vicki. I'm doing so wonderful. How are you?
It's just great to hear your voice, and I'm so thankful in your busy schedule that you've chosen to join us. And you have an amazing story, and the thing that just is incredible to me is how you have beaten back the waves of depression and so many negatives in your life, including a really serious battle with cancer. Tell us how you deal with these crises and trials and how your story is getting such a good ending in spite of terrible bouts of depression.
You know, it always hasn't been easy. And I mentioned in my testimony that I found God, and God has had a changing impact on my life. I've had a transforming experience with Him. But you know, that's not all. In God's Word, we find all kinds of principles that help us with lifestyle, with depression, with discouragement, and a number of other things. And some of those things are exercise, the types of foods we eat, the amount of rest that we get, the fresh air, the sunshine. And all of those things that are really clearly spelled out in God's word were really life transforming for me. And of course, trust in God in the darkest times of my life. You know, sometimes the sun hasn't always shined in my experience with him. And there have been dark moments even since that time. But I just have to keep coming back to him, keep having to come back to those principles that have really changed me. And they work time and time again. They are proven, tested, and true.
You know, you have turned, by God's grace, so many negatives into positives, so many messes into miracles. How has the dark experience in your life, those dark times, how have they made you stronger? How have they made you better for other people and for God and for his work?
You know, nobody learns the valuable lessons of life when everything is going well. So it's when we have the dark moments in the life, when we have the discouragements and the frustrations and the disappointments, that really the deeper lessons that God wants to teach us are revealed. And so, you know, I've learned so many valuable lessons through these things. And though I didn't enjoy them, I do appreciate them. And they have drawn me closer to God, and they've given me really an experience that I can use to help encourage and give others hope. And that's been the greatest blessing to me, is not always going through the trial, but having that testimony, not the test, but the testimony that then I can share with others about how God has given me the strength. And again, it's not always easy, but it is possible. And it is, you know, God will carry us through in the moments when in and of ourselves, we think we can't make it.
Oh, that is so important. And that's what we all have a choice. We can be bitter or better, pitiful or powerful. So, Wes, I want to thank you so much for taking time with us today. That's the path that we all want and need. And so let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the wonderful testimony of Wes, that you can turn that which is dark into light, and that you lead us through suffering into greater strength. Lord, you are the only one that can do this. You've done it for Wes. You can do it for all of your children, all who are watching this program right now. Oh, please, God, work this in our hearts and in our lives. You are coming soon, and we thank you for this amazing story, and that his story can be our story of victory. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you so much for joining us today.